Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The various stories of the Old Testament have been read. The words of the mysteries foretold in the Old Testament have been heard. The first man and his wife messed up royally, but were given the promise that the woman's seed, a singular man, would overcome the tyranny of the serpent, crushing his head, while he himself would die by the bite of the serpent. Humanity would be saved through that singular seed of the woman. Noah and his family were saved as the Lord destroyed the world by water. The ram was the substitute for Isaac. Ancient Israel was saved from wicked Pharaoh at the crossing of the Red Sea. And how in the fiery furnace, one who appeared like the son of the gods dealt and dwelt with his beloved servants and saved them from harm. The story of our Lord's resurrection then is both old and new. This is the night that we relish, or that we relish in what our Lord has foretold from long ago. This is the night the salvation of the world is accomplished. This is the night that we see the pattern of how our Lord works to save. And on this night, everything old is made new. The accounts heard from the Old Testament serve as types. It's a fancy way to speak about patterns of what would come in the new covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all the Passover lambs and the sacrificial processions of blood that accompanied the slaughtering at the temple and the writing of the law profess and point forward to Jesus Christ, on whose account everything in the previous law took place. But now a better covenant has come, and a better covenant has been consummated. The new covenant and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he spoke on Thursday, has gone into complete effect now with his death and his resurrection. And dear friends in Christ, you are in the new covenant, and you are recipients of his gifts. All the word of God, the law of old, and the words of the apostles and the evangelists leads to this reality, Jesus Christ. Christ was born a son, led as a lamb, slaughtered as a sheep, buried as a man, and rose from the dead as God. Being both fully God and fully man, the two natures never separate. Nor are they separated now as Christ reigns at the right hand of the Father. This is why we celebrate not only our Lord's resurrection, but also his ascension. You see, Jesus did all these things as both God and man, and he still continues to rule as God and man. Christ is all things. He is law in that he judges. He is word in that he teaches. He is grace in that he saves. He is son in that he is begotten from his Father from all eternity. He is sheep in that he suffers. He is human in that he is buried. He is God in that he is raised up. Few people have asked me a couple of times about the origin of Easter. Easter is a weird name for this day, tomorrow. The Greek Orthodox Church still call Easter by its name, Pascha. Preachers in the early church, like Melito of Sardis, that I'm kind of following here on this sermon, connect the name to the Greek verb pascho, which means to suffer. Perhaps you can better understand why they made the connection between that meaning and the resurrection of Christ. See the one who comes as the suffering servant, who shares in our own sufferings, who has now brought sufferings to an end in his resurrection, and rejoice And be glad this night, for our present sufferings will only last a little while. But the joy of the resurrection and life everlasting far surpasses it. This is the Lord of our salvation, Jesus Christ. He is the one who suffered many things. It is he who was murdered in Abel, tied up in Isaac, sold in Joseph, left for dead, slaughtered in the lamb of the Passover, hunted down in David, dishonored and killed in the prophets. He is the one made flesh, born of a virgin, hanged upon a tree, buried in the earth, and now is exalted to the heights of heaven. He is the lamb slain, the speechless lamb, taken from the flock and led to the slaughter, who was sacrificed when the sun did not give its light, and he was buried. And yet he was not broken on the tree. He was not undone in the earth, but he rose from the dead and resurrected humankind from the grave below. This was always God's will. He chose you and led you from the captivity of sin and death and brought you into his marvelous light. From Adam to Noah, from Noah to Abraham, from Abraham to Isaac and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs, it is he who led you out of Egypt, the place of slavery and death, and has guarded you in the wilderness and still sustains you. It is he who has lit up your way with the pillar and sheltered you there with a cloud, and he still shelters you in his church. He has cut open the Red Sea and leads you through it, and has thus destroyed the enemy once and for all. It is he who came to you, seeing you in your own distress and suffering and need, wallowing in your sin as well as your shame. And he has healed your suffering and has now raised you to new life in him by the waters of holy baptism. He has triumphed gloriously, and now he gives you his victory. It is the Lord Jesus who triumphs over death, and he says, "I am the one who destroys death. I crush Hades. I hold the keys. I bind the strong man, for I am stronger." And so now also the resurrected Lord says, "Come, all families of people adulterated with sin, and receive my forgiveness for them. I am your freedom. I am your Passover of salvation. I am the Lamb slaughtered for you. I am your ransom, your substitute. I am your light. I am your salvation. I am your resurrection. I am your king. I shall raise you up by my right hand, and I will lead you like a shepherd to the heights of heaven. And there I shall show you the everlasting Father." This is the night that we praise the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Christ your King. Jesus is the great commander, the Lord of Sabaoth, who has defeated Satan once and for all. This is the night Christ rose from the dead, never to die again, and it is he who now sits at the right hand of his Father, victorious for us, for you, that you might have life everlasting with him. To him be majesty, honor, and power forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The congregation rises as we now confess our faith of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation is invited to kneel for the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for our risen and glorious Lord, whose sacrificial death has given us forgiveness of sins, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For holy joy throughout the Easter season and in our daily lives, that we would not fear our enemies, nor give in to the temptation of despair or in our days of trouble, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the enemies of the gospel may be hindered, and that the blessed Easter message of hope may be proclaimed to all people in every place. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Joseph, our president, and all who make and administer our laws, that God would frustrate the forces of evil and not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. And for our armed forces, as they stand watch for us at home and abroad, that they would serve with honor and integrity. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and those in any need, that the dawning light of the new creation in Christ would sustain them in faith, and that according to God's will, they would be granted renewed health as a foretaste of their eternal healing in Him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For joy in Christ's great victory feast as He shares it with us from this altar, that He would overcome our sin by His forgiveness and swallow up our death in His life through the eating and drinking of His true body and blood in faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful, that the resurrection of all flesh might awaken in joy to the Lord's presence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We join today in singing eternal alleluias with the innumerable angels in Thessal gathering, with the assembly of all of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.